Next area to be examined is that of births and deaths. And what could be more serious than life and death? And once again, a whole subculture has sprung up in the area of superstitions and customs to help one and to postpone the other. Some of these may merit laughter, but the court should stress that they are based on fact and are taken very, very seriously by very many people. Dr. Robert Foote, please proceed.
I call upon Mr. Robert Graves.
Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
But of course I will.
Rob Graves?
I will. I mean...
Robert Graves.
Oh, call me Rob.
Can you explain what your area of expertise is?
Well, I'm an undertaker, but I'd be fairly handy around a few beliefs on fertility and birth.
Such as?
Well, as to increase woman increasing her chances of getting pregnant, she should sit in a seat just vacated by a pregnant woman. Or try on the pregnant woman's coat for good measure. Then the pregnancy is said to be catching.
Very curious. And what about a certain fertility custom in Tyrone, I believe, concerning slapping?
Oh, yes. In Tyrone, it said that a woman can increase her chances of getting pregnant by, say, if she was in the company of two other pregnant females. She would get pregnant, unless she prevented by quickly slapping her backside three times.
Not as much fun as the real thing, I would assume. But still, it is good to know these things. No further questions, Your Honour.
Could you tell the court what exactly is a strange custom known as cuvade?
Yes, well, a cuvade, it's a custom which hopes to lessen the pains of pregnancy for the mother by transferring some of it to the father. In times past, it was common for a pregnant woman to wear a waistcoat or some other item of clothing belonging to her other half. And in the weeks before her labour, she would have the poor fella do some extra hard labour around the house.
Very curious. It sounds to me like a way of finally getting that fence built. And what exactly is a C-A-U-L? A caul.
A caul.
Yes, yes.
A caul is an amniotic membrane which on rare occasions is found around a child's head and face when it's delivered. It's lucky. And the lucky caul should be preserved by the mother, and as long as it's kept safely, the child will never drown.
Bum smacking, ball breaking, bother. No further questions, Robert.
Right, sir. On the subject of death, are you aware of some omens in relation to death?
Well, it's said that dreaming about the loss of an eye tooth, or indeed dreaming about a cabbage, sure sign of death.
Death by boredom, I would say, if you're dreaming of cabbages all night long. But there was a delightful story you were telling me from down in Meath, I believe.
Yes, in Gormanstown, County Meath. And it's where no lord of the manor had ever permitted fox hunting. The night before the lord of the manor's death, the fox would gather and howl on his front lawn, out of respect for his preventing their death before his own would occur.
A lot politer, I would say, than the banshee. Can you tell us some other well-established death lores?
Yes, well, in olden times, when death occurred, clocks were stopped, mirrors in the house were veiled. There was also a custom that if bees were kept, they too had to be told the sad news and their hives draped in black. Another custom was dying at Christmas was deemed to be a good time to die, because it was said that the gates of heaven were open for the 12 days of Christmas. A contentious belief was that men went quietly. Women resisted death.
strange you may think that these customs are, but helpful and more mannerly, would you say?
Well, people have their own way of mourning and respecting the departed.
And rightly so. No further questions, Your Honour.
What used to happen to the deceased clothes in certain parts of Ireland?
In parts of Ireland, the clothes of the dead were often given to a needy neighbour, but was strictly on the proviso that they wore the clothes on three successive Sundays. Otherwise, the dead person would go naked into the next world.
Trouble in paradise. Mm-hmm. And what would happen if a bride died young?
It was normal for a young woman to be buried with her own family rather than in her husband's family. This was based on the notion that if the husband remarried, things could get lively, two wives in the one grave.
Now, that I can understand. And finally, you must tell the court about the touch of the dead.
Oh, yes. Not seen too often now, I would say. It's where a death occurred. The woman of the house would use the hand of the corpse to stir the milk. It was believed that it would increase the butter yield. And one legend tells how a woman who cut the hand of a dead body to use at churning time. She was later visited from beyond the grave by the corpse in question, forced to return the hand to the corpse and visit the grave every night for a month to beg forgiveness.
Oh, deadly, deadly, deadly. No further questions, Your Honour.
Irish superstition is awash with stories about fairies and sprites that roam the land. There is a widespread scepticism about the existence of fairies. But I can assure you, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, that it would take a very, very brave person indeed that would walk into a field and cut down a fairy tree without fear of consequence. A very brave person indeed. And therefore, respect is usually shown. And this stems from the need to give some explanation, however unlikely, to the otherwise inexplicable. Dr. Robert Foote, would you please call your next witness?
I call Ted Tillinghurst.
Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
When it comes to little people, you should never lie.
What exactly are fairies?
It is said that fairies are, in fact, fallen angels, or spirits in limbo. Not evil enough to go to hell, or good enough for heaven. Human-like in form, they live in forts, they keep cattle, and they love revelry, and play music that is said to enchant mortals. They are at the height of their power in November, and at All-Star, superstition scapegoat, the red-headed man, is said to be able to assist a mortal in the fairy world. If you ever see a fairy up to devilment, it is best to throw a hat, a wedding dress, or a left shoe in their direction. It should be noted that you can only see a fairy if you've been born in the morning. A person born in the afternoon could never see one.
And what is special about fairies and Fridays in particular?
This was the day in which they were supposed to have the most influence over fate. So Friday was deemed a bad day to begin work, go on a journey, or marry. On this day, the fairies could see and hear everything that was going on and attempt to spoil it out of spite and jealousy for the mortal race. It was deemed prudent to leave food and pails of water for them to bathe in. Such kindness would be returned with golden apples, swords of knowledge, and bottles of wine that could never be emptied.
And a very good present such a bottle would be, especially in some people's pint, Ryan Rack. Now, we have all heard of leprechauns being shoemakers with a crock of gold. But can you tell us what a curacane is?
It's a sprite who lives in pantries and cellars, helping himself to the contents. In former days, the servants got blamed for anything that went missing, thanks to the little fella.
I think the same boy must be ticking my socks all the time. But in summary, a little bit of a pest. But if we leave the little people alone, all shall be fine.
Oh, yes, very much so. Stories of their goodness are often overlooked. If you're interested, just ask.
Yeah, well, maybe after the case, Ted. No further questions.
They're not all so cute and cuddly. How's about the fairy's cousin, the Pooka? Tell us about him there, Ted.
Oh, a Pooka. A Pooka is a mischievous demon that can lead travellers astray, often taking the form of a horse that would thrust itself between its quarry's legs and carry the victim on a wild ride across country. It would lie in wait at natural breaks such as bridges, crossroads and streams. The Pooka is believed to spoil blackberries after sowing, so they should never be picked after that time.
And finally, Ted, you'll have to tell the court just who and what is the Banshee?
Oh, the Banshee is an apparition attendant upon families of long pedigree or historic descent only, and is a prophet of evil. When seen, which is very seldom, it appears in the form of a woman with long, dishevelled hair and loose, flowing robes. When misfortune approaches, it is said to send forth a peculiar wail, usually in the night. Though the Banshee is a prophet of evil, it is faithful attendant upon those to whom it is devoted. It is usually regarded as a spirit of a member of the family, or of one who ought to have been such, but was, in one way or another, sorely wronged.
A most colourful piece of fiction there, Ted.
In the final area of superstition we shall be looking at tonight, we will examine ancient charms and cures. These were deemed to be gifts, and indeed many are still performed today. There was a strong reliance on faith, be it in God, or in the remedy, or in the person that was performing it. There was a strong reliance on faith, be it God, in the remedy itself, or as I've just said, in the person administering it. Some people were deemed to have natural healing gifts or abilities, such as the seventh son or the seventh daughter of a seventh son. These were said to be very special people. Please proceed, Dr. Robertford.
I call upon Fimber Malone.
Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
But, of course, my dear boy.
Finbar, you are said to be the man to send for when a cure is needed.
Yes. And for the record, I am the seventh son of a seventh son.
Very good, yes. Now tell me, what exactly is a piss-off?
A piss-off? It's a charm or a spell for good or evil purposes. They can cure disease, inflict injury, or bring bad luck and produce. Now, if two farmers were at loggerheads, one might put the evil eye on the other by taking a bit of meat or an egg and burying it in the boundary between the two farms. When the food rots, the neighbor's crops would fail, or his farm animals might sicken and die. Another example is of a farmer who gives a sick animal to his neighbor in the hopes that he might transfer his misfortune to his neighbour.
Do you have an evil eye?
Not a bit of it, young man. Though your opposing counsel could be a recipient if he doesn't sharpen up. I'm able to cure folk with a range of ailments, though.
Such as?
Well, an ancient cure for mumps I have often used involves having a child's head rubbed against the back of a pig. While a phrase in Irish is called out, muck, muck, shaw, ditch, da, lackey, meaning, pig, pig, here are your mumps.
A lot of wart sufferers get in touch with you. And how do you cure them?
Well, there is numerous cures for the condition of warts. You could rub your hands in the forge water used by the blacksmith to cool his irons, or rub a freshly cut potato over the infected area and bury it in your garden. You could even rid yourself of warts by having someone buy them from you.
Yeah, I must make a note of that. I haven't seen it on eBay. Finbar, all of these can benefit people, yes? And it helps ease suffering and all?
Oh, yes. Ringworm now can be cured by using the clay from where pallbearers walked. A sore throat can be cured by tying a stocking filled with hot potatoes around it. Potching. Potching, of course, is the ultimate cure, especially for rheumatism. If only the customs and revenue would leave those illicit stills alone. There wouldn't be a bit of sickness anywhere in Ireland.
Sounds to me like you're doing us all a favour, Finbar.
Well, I like to do what I can.
No further questions, Your Honour.
Finbar, can you tell us about your cure for epilepsy?
For epilepsy?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be 9 pieces of a dead man's skull ground to a powder and mixed with what is known as a concoction of walrus.
And freckles?
Freckles would disappear after regular bathing in hares or bulls' blood.
And, of course, the classic cure in Ireland for baldness.
A cure for baldness was a preparation to be rubbed on the scalp made from a jar of worms buried in dung for a month.
Very good, Finbar. Now, I know you don't practice it yourself, but I do believe you can tell the court of a known ritual for giving the user complete invisibility, no less.
Well, I've heard of it, yes. Now you take a raven's heart and split it open with a black-handled knife, making the cut and placing a black bean in each incision. You would then bury the heart, and when the beans would sprout, put one in your mouth, saying the words, "By virtue of Satan's art, and by the desire of my great art, I hope to be invisible." Invisibility is then guaranteed as long as a bean remains in your mouth.
I rest my case, and if I may say so to the court, if proof were needed of the need to reject the notion that we have any room in society for superstitions, that last cock and bull story was it. I fear each and every witness, each and every witness has been economical with their voodoo, Your Honour.
We will see, Sir Percy. It is for the jury to decide. Do not forget. Well, Dr. Rabbitfoot, would you like to begin your closing speech, then?
No, Your Honour, I would not.
Oh, and why, might I add, not?
With the court's permission, I would like to call upon one final witness.
This is most unusual behaviour. Sir Percy, if you are awake, will you assent to this?
If only more rope has to hang us, Your Honour.
Oh, very well then. You may call your last witness, but will you please make it quick?
Of course, Your Honour. I want you to prepare yourself for my final witness. I shall be calling upon the devil. I call upon Satan!
Dr. Rabbitfoot, there is no sign of your witness. This could be conceived as contempt of court.
Perhaps, Your Honour, but it was only when they had a chance. Because the original reaction of this audience, I believe, put the outcome of this court beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Peter, could you stop stalling there and tell us what point you're trying to make?
Well, it wasn't until they had time to think about it. But when I mentioned the devil first and the bang on the door, the majority of this audience turned around to acknowledge the existence of the devil. And by such an action, they have shown that they give credence to things that they do not understand. Because there can be no bigger superstition than the belief in the devil himself.
This is semantic subterfuge and a deliberate attempt to delay the inevitable.
Maybe so, Sir Percy, but Dr. Rabbitfoot is right. The jury did believe that the devil was in court. And technically, they have confirmed that superstition still has a place in the hearts and minds of most of us, whether we like it or not. Case dismissed with no room to appeal. I would like to thank the members of the jury for their time and indeed for their patience. This court is adjourned.
There was a wee man down to live and pray. Rightful, tightful, tidyful tay. There was a wee man down to live and pray, scolding old wife the most of his day with me rightful law, tidyful law, baldery, aldery, aldery day. One day the sound man he walked out the glen, rightful, tightful, tidyful tay. One day the sound man he walked out the glen, he met with the devil, says, how are you there with me rightful law, tidyful law. All to the real, to the real, to the day.
My good man, I have come for your wife. Rightful, tightful,
tidyful tay.
To see, my good man, I have come for your wife. Pray, wishes of pleasure on them.
But me rightful law, tidyful law, fall to the real, to the real, to the day.
So the devil he hoisted her up in his van.
Rightful, tightful, tidyful day.
The devil he hoisted her up in his back, and he landed at hell's hall door with a crack. With your
rightful law, tidyful law, fall to the real, to the real, to the day. Now two little devils were tied up on chains. Rightful, tightful, tidyful day. Two little devils were tied up in chains. This is take her away or she'll batter her brains. With me rightful law, tidyful law, fall to the real, to the real, diddle day. Then the devil he hoisted her up on his back. Rightful, tightful, tidyful tay. The devil he hoisted her up on his back. There were 9 years going, 2 days going back. With me rightful law, tidyful law, fall to the real, diddle day.
Says he, good man, man, here's your wife safe and well.
rightful, tightful, tidyful tay.
Sissy, my good man, is your wife safe and well? For she couldn't be kept.
Not even in hell with your rightful law, tidyful law, baldery, aldery, aldery tay.
I've been the devil the most of me life.
Rightful, tightful, tidyful tay.
I've been the devil the most of me life, but I never was in hell till I met with your wife.
With me rightful law, tidyful law, baldery, aldery, aldery tay. Now it's true that the women are worse than the men. Rightful, tightful, tidyful tay. It's true that the women are worse than the men. When they go down to hell, they're through it again. With me rightful law, tidyful law, baldery, aldery, aldery tay.
This programme was made with the support of the Broadcasting Funding Scheme, a Broadcasting Authority of Ireland initiative.